Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Black Hills Dakota Distillery debuted its first product just in time for last week's Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. Sturgis Shine is a 100-proof spirit made from barley, sugar, and clove honey, based on an ancient recipe for an Irish moonshine. Michael and Paul Lewis are the brothers behind the new artisan distillery in Sturgis, and they join the program from our studios at the Dahl Art Center in Rapid City. And Michael and Paul, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hi, Carl. Thanks.
Good morning.
Well, the term moonshine, let's talk about that. That's certainly familiar. We always have these images of hillbillies out in the woods. But what exactly is moonshine?
Well, technically speaking, Carl, you know, moonshine has really no definition except lore, what we traditionally think. It's an illicit and illegal liquor that's distilled in the backwoods someplace, and somebody's got a double-barrel shotgun guarding the still. But according to the Taxation Trade Bureau, that's the federal government's arm that regulates liquor creation, there is no such thing as moonshine. So, surprise! Moonshine is something we term our product because we base it off of an Irish recipe called poutine, which is Gaelic for pot stilled. And so when the Irish fled Ireland from the Great Potato Famine, they brought with them the recipe, one of which was our grandfather, and they were traditionally using barley. When they came to the States then, they hit the East Coast, then it became a corn product because corn was much more prevalent.
And I understand that then the Sturgis Shine, this is not corn-based?
No, it's not. We use, just as you had said in your promo, it is a barley, sugar, and honey. The barley is South Dakota made. The honey, South Dakota made. The water, South Dakota made. And there's one quick correction I'd like
sure.
to make. You had said we're the first legal distillery in South Dakota. We're the first legal distillery in the Black Hills.
In the Black
South
Hills.
Dakota.
Okay.
You got it.
Okay. Does the Black Hills have a history of distilleries, non-legal?
You know, there's a great book out there called Astride the White Mule, and it was done by Chuck Cecil. He's out of Brookings. And yes, I mean, there's a number of stills that have been discovered or were discovered between 1920, 1935 and destroyed by the revenueers, or they were also called gauge men because they would run around with hydrometer gauges to see what the proofing was, you know, what potency you had with your liquor. And so, yeah, there is some history in the area. Of course, it was shut down during Prohibition, brought back to life then afterwards. But nothing's really taken off. You know, there's wineries, there's breweries, and, of course, now a distillery.
Distillery. Now, maybe we should talk a little bit about the difference between the process for making beer or wine and making distilled beverages.
Well, there's not a whole heck of a lot of difference in the startup of or the fermentation of the product. Basically, the same thing is done for beer as is done for our spirits, which is basically you mash in distilling. You mash your product where you add the grain, the sugar, and then the yeast, and let it ferment. And our product will ferment for about a week to 10 days, and then as you take it out of the fermentation tank, it becomes wash, and it goes into the still, and it's distilled, where basically you boil the alcohol off of the mixture. Alcohol has a lower boiling point than water, so it's going to boil first off of the wash before your water comes off. However, for beer, the same steps are taken, or pretty close to the same steps are taken, except that they don't take the wash, or they call it the whey, and distill it. They take and they bottle it, and they'll carbonate it, and that's how you get beer. So that's the basic difference, is that we just take the product one step further and distill it.
And there's a higher concentration of alcohol?
Yes.
You're listening? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. In our product, our still holds 50 gallons of wash, and from that we will distill off roughly 6 gallons of alcohol at about 160, 165 proof, or 80 to 85% alcohol.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and with us are Michael and Paul Lewis. They are the operators of Black Hills Dakota Distillery, which debuted its first product just in time for last week's Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. It's Sturgis Shine. Now, since the two of you are brothers, I have this image of you as boys experimenting with spirits, or I imagine you probably weren't, but...
If we did, we wouldn't confess to it, because that's a felony.
Yeah.
Okay. And quick disclaimer, Carl.
Yeah.
Hey, folks listening in, we are artisan craft distillers, fully licensed. Don't try this at home. Because unlike beer and wine production, which gives you a certain amount of home production for consumption, you can go ahead and do that. You cannot with distilled spirits. Can't do it.
There's no quantity whatsoever can be distilled, according to the law. But what you do on your own time, I guess, is your own risk.
Is that what makes it particularly challenging in starting a distillery, just the licensing and the permitting and that sort of thing?
Very much so. It took us roughly 8 months to get our license. It's a federal government. There's a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of hoops to jump through. We not only have the federal license, but also the state license. To get yourself started, technically you cannot, well, you can own the still, but you cannot produce anything off of it until you have the license. So it's a learning process. You gotta, unless you come from a background where you've done this before with your father or relatives in the backwoods, you kind of have to learn as you go. So you go through the whole process, and you make mistakes, and you wind up wasting some of the wash, but it's all part of the learning process.
Well, how did you learn to do this? Was this, you mentioned the recipes were handed down? Was this something that you learned from your father, grandfather's family members?
Well, no, not really. I mean, we've always had an interest in doing something. I guess the whole thing started when we saw in a magazine that my mother gets from Ireland that was talking about a new distillery forming there, and one of the things they were trying to do to raise money was basically promoted by saying, if you buy a barrel, and I think at that time it was like 5,000 euros, which I guess then is probably about $7,000-$8,000. If you give us this amount of money, then we will have a barrel for you, and whatever comes out of that barrel is yours. And so we were talking back and forth about some means of investing or getting into the business, because we always had that interest and always an interest in starting something on our own. Then we kind of sat back and thought, well, why should we give them our money? Why don't we just do this ourselves? So that instigated a bit of research, and so we started doing that, and we attended a class put on by the Koval Distillery in Chicago. It was a 3-day course, and they went through the whole process and learned a lot. Last afternoon was nothing but a series of tasting of different spirits. Boy, I tell you, I thought I'd never say it, but by the time the day was over, I was done tasting spirits.
Well, you mentioned the spirits that you're making. You're using all local sources, the traditional moonshine, no flavoring, the Sturgis Shine that you came out with last week. Was that what you had in mind originally, that you would make your spirits out of locally grown and harvested and found elements, ingredients?
Right, Carl. That's our goal. And you know, you look around the world, okay, traditionally you've got Polish and Russian vodka, you've got sake made in Japan, and soju made in Korea. Okay, those are national drinks. Now you look to the United States, and you've got bourbon from Kentucky, and it's, you know, it's required to be manufactured Tennessee, Kentucky area to be called bourbon. As you travel across the country, then you'll have various types and kinds of mostly wines made. But now with the craft distillering, I guess, lack of a better word, fad coming on, yeah, you know, you want to capitalize on local ingredients, because, believe it or not, that corn, that barley, that rye that comes from the earth, takes on different characteristics given the waters and the minerals. And so you'll get a different flavor from the barleys you use in Colorado or the barleys you use in South Dakota, as well as the corns. And, you know, our goal is to give folks South Dakota in a bottle. That truly, we have shopped the farmers markets, the farmers co-ops, looking for raspberries, buffalo berries, rhubarb. We're looking for the homemade, homegrown ingredients that feature South Dakota product and the flavors that we have here in the state.
I read that alfalfa is another thing that you're looking at.
Yeah, it is. you say alfalfa, and I'm sure that many people envision a cow grazing in the field. Yeah, it's one of the things that we will probably give some consideration to and a try. We want to create unique spirits. You know, everybody does a whiskey, everybody does a vodka, everybody does a gin. These are all things that are quite common. We want to try something that's unique. So alfalfa is one of those ideas. We are talking with one of the brewers in the area about doing a beer schnapps, which, you know, as I described earlier, what we do is after they're done with their whey, and we would take that and then we would distill it and get alcohol off of it. Now, a beer is probably right around 6 to 8% alcohol, so the return from the distilling is not as great. But it has a really unique flavor. I mean, we've given this a try. My son dabbles in beer making himself, so we took some of his mix and distilled it, and it really has quite a beer flavor to it. It's very unique. We're looking at some flavored vodkas. Rhubarb vodka is one of them. It's a unique flavor. It has a real tart flavor to it. We're going to have to sweeten it because I don't think otherwise it will sell very well. But I think it'd make a real good spirit in a mix. So that there's that, and we're looking at doing some flavoring with jalapenos and, oh, you know, just anything that we come across that we think would be unique to the state and would be different.
Now, your first product, as we mentioned, is Sturgis Shine. What does that taste like?
Well,
is it sweet or smooth?
It is very smooth, and the reason we get a smooth product is, number one, we're not illegal hiding out in the woods, and so our role and mission is not to make something fast and sell it. So because of that, we have the opportunity to take basically 8 hours, Carl, and from 45, 48 gallons of wash, which is the fermented mixture, the sugars, the barley, the yeast, we will distill it and we'll get off of that a yield of 6 to 8 gallons. Then we take that 6 to 8 gallons and we blend it, and it's charcoal filtered. And I should also remark, you know, traditional whiskey making is done with a pot still. You've got the boiler and you've got what's called a gooseneck coming out. That's it. That's what you'll see in Scotland. That's what you'll see in Ireland. We use a column still. So we've got the boiler. Then we have a stainless steel column that rises out, well, probably about 5-6 feet. It can be anywhere from 4 to 10 inches. Ours is 4 inches in diameter. It has copper platings then that line or segment, I should say, off the column. So as the vapors rise, water separates, and the lighter, pure vapors finally get to the top and then drip out through what's called the parrot's beak. And so, yeah, you're getting a smoother product, but you don't want to distill it too much and use the copper too much to scrub it too clean, because you're taking out what are called congeners, and that's the flavor. Okay, we had some tastings prior to the Sturgis Rally, and we had folks from Tennessee, Kentucky, Texas come up to us, and of course the first things out of their mouths were, "We know moonshine. We know moonshine, back and front, inside out." Then we go ahead and we give them a sip with water, and then especially in sweet tea, it really brings the barley flavor out. And we got real good reception. People were pleasantly surprised. I mean, we went through several cases very quickly, and that's always gratifying because, you know, it's your product. You make it. It's like you're the chef in the kitchen, only in this case we're the craft distillers.
We only have a few seconds here, but before I let you go, people who want to find the Sturgis Shine, is it available in many places?
It's getting out there. The distributor, we have a meeting with them this afternoon to try to get some promotion going. It is available at the Sturgis Municipal Liquor Store. It's available at the Queen City's Liquor Store in Spearfish. And then a couple bars have picked them up at this point.